Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. Our paradigm shifter today is not exactly new to us, but hasn't been with us for a number of years. And I'm very, very excited to see what her new form of helping us understand ourselves and learn the magic of our names. And more than the magic of our names, the psychology that you can understand about yourself because of your name or how your name reflects that. And welcome Sharon Wyeth, who has done research on know the name, know the person, know the name, know the spirit, round the world. I'm so excited to speak with you, Sharon.
It's great to be back with you, Veronica.
Well, we're going to have some fun today. I know that you have been educated as an educator, and you've been in many, many levels of education. But it's so funny, this kind of work that you're doing, which is telling us if we look at our names and we see what the impact or the meaning of the letters in the names and the organization of the letters in the names, we can actually learn. I mean, it's highly educational, is it not?
Well, you know, I've taught math for all those years before I went into administration, and I started seeing patterns as I was doing seating charts for the children at the beginning of the year when I didn't know who they were. And so I got these impulses on what every child would be like. And when I got over feeling guilty that I might know something about somebody before I met them, I decided I was more curious than anything else. So I wrote down all my impressions of the kids, the 150 I'd be teaching that year, and put it aside until winter break. And at winter break, when I looked at it, I was astonished by the accuracy. So then I thought,
Are you an intuitive?
I think my brain picked up patterns. I do have a good intuition, but I really think my brain picked up patterns because I was a math major in college and I have my master's degree. And so I think the brain being thoroughly trained, it picked it up subconsciously. And so then it was like, how do I make this conscious? So I started with tremendous lists and all the different things, trial and error and looking for patterns. And it took me 15 years to figure them all out. And then I went and tested them in over 72 countries over the next 3 years.
Wow. This is really fascinating. How did you get to 70 countries, for heaven's sakes? And also, I wanted to ask another thing, which is, do you think the human brain, I think this might be true, do you think the human brain functions as much on patterns as anything else?
I do, because I happen to agree with Einstein and Galileo and all of our great scientists that mathematics is what the universe was written in. That's the language of the universe. And because of that, math is based on patterns. So our brain must be based on patterns. And
music is based on patterns, right?
Music is based on patterns. Nature is based on patterns. When I was in the classroom, I would notice that the minute a child could catch a pattern, whether it would be in spelling or math or anything, then the brain would grab onto it and the child didn't have any problem remembering it. But when it was just like abstract thoughts and ideas that there wasn't a pattern that they could readily grasp, the children had a hard time learning. And so, yes, I agree with all those great minds out there that say that math is the language of the universe and it's how we all operate.
What about music? Are you musical?
I wish. It runs in the family because all my family is. I never had an opportunity to learn how to play an instrument. I used to sing.
And I always think singing really heals the brain. It hooks the right and left sides of the brain. It's a wonderful tool, isn't it? Anyway, we don't need to go off into music, but I know there's been many years I've heard there's such a tremendous correlation between mathematics and music.
And mechanics.
And physics, yes?
And mechanical. The people that can work on your car and can fix everything and they're just incredibly amazing, those people also have the same kind of pattern brain that they've really excelled at, and that's why they're able to do that.
Can you fix cars?
You know, I've never tried, but I can sure build stuff and do artwork and fix that kind of stuff.
Wow, this is really exciting. Well, let's get down to some real brass tacks. I want you to enlighten other people out there, people who are listening, to, for example, what's in a name? Like, let's look at the United States of America. Can you tell us what we can interpret from this name according to your pattern system?
In the United States name for America, it says that our country is very stubborn. Once it gets on a pattern, it likes to stay there, and it takes anger to break that up before we'll move on to a new pattern.
Oh, we've got that going, haven't we?
And it says that we have a tendency to be workaholics in this country, that we're highly productive, that we have a great sense of humor, and that we appreciate play, that we have our own way of doing things or organizing things. And it's not that anybody else can understand it, but we sure get it. It says that we're very independent, that we like to be at the top of our game, and that we're basically very athletic, that we can see things and feel things from other people's points of view, even when we disagree with them. And that the coolest thing about the name for the United States is it says that all of us are constantly learning. And I think that's wonderful. And I guess that comes from me being an educator for so many years. I think it's really important that we keep learning and growing.
I think that's the secret to aging well, too, is never stop learning. And inventors and so on. That's actually a wonderful breakdown of that. Let me see. What's another country we can use before I leave this? Russia.
Russia is, it's interesting. They want to know everything about everybody. But they're not gossips. They don't tell. But they want to know everybody else's country's secrets and how to get in. They want to be very independent. They want other countries to like them. But it's interesting because they have their own rules or their own set of truth. And they want to give the appearance of likability because the name says that they're under illusion. That they don't, and how I read that is that they don't see the world the same as the other countries do.
Oh, wow. I mean, sometimes that's good, isn't it?
I don't ever put a good or a bad on anything. It just, this is what the name says. But it says that they're constantly learning. They're constantly growing. But they're very knowledgeable. It also says that they have great imaginations and they love escapism.
Oh, so that's their vodka and music. They love music too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just similar to how we love TV, right?
Well, that's really exciting. Let's tell people at home how to break down names. Tell them a bit about how you know all that about, for example, Russia. And I remember that we spoke not that long ago and talked about the use of vowels in certain positions. And the other thing was the positioning of a person's name. So first name is different than the second name in the third name, which means that it's not just one name that counts, right?
Right. The first name is the essence of who somebody is. It's like the ingredients that they have in their kitchen, and that's what they have to work with. And the last name is their environment. And that's like saying these are the recipes that you can use for those ingredients so that you have some choice and some flexibility. The middle name is where we go when we're under stress. If you believe in reincarnation, you can get your most previous past life, what you did and what you learned out of that middle name. But it really, it's those are the qualities and characteristics that we exhibit when we're under a lot of stress. People that don't have a middle name, it's what you see in the first name is what you get, whether they're stressed or not stressed. Then, as you're breaking down the first name, the first letter in the first name is the first impression that we give someone. The first vowel in the first name is our communication style, what kind of gifts we like, how we operate as a whole. A lot of our basics sit in that one vowel. It's the reason we can all relate to each other because there's only six vowels. And then the last letter in the first name is the lasting memory or impression we leave on people. And the first they'll say about us behind our backs. For an example,
wow.
With your name, Veronica, it ends in A. And when I was traveling and doing some of this, I was doing a lot of cruise ships for a while to get from one place to another because you might as well write what you've learned at the last place while you're on a cruise ship to the next place. And the person I was traveling with, we started noticing that the cruise ship, the crews, if they were in the lunch area or the dinner area, the majority of their names, over 90% on every cruise ship, ended in an A or a Y.
Oh, really?
And all of those had, you know, it didn't matter. There wasn't that many A's and Y's. Well, what's interesting is both the A and the Y, when that's your last letter of your first name, can get along with anybody that they want to. The real key is, do they want to? Okay. The Y is a chameleon and can just fit into any group and immediately senses what this group's going to accept or not accept, to know what part of them to share and show. Where the A will say, I've made me so likable that if you don't like me, there's something wrong with you.
It's a little bit arrogant. Well, here's something interesting, Sharon, is that I'm Veronica. I always have been, but I've been called Ronnie a lot, which ended in I. How does that change people's impression?
The first name, when it ends in an I, literally says, I can handle, excuse me, I can handle a lot of attention. And look at me, look what I'm doing, because you may want to do the same thing.
Huh. Okay.
You know, there's not that many names that end in an I, other than Hawaii, that everybody likes going to.
That's true. Well, let's carry on with some of these. Like, I have a million questions for you. One of them is, how close to our spirit selves are our names? Do they indicate what our spirit and our general life flow is? If that's too rapid a jump into spirit, we can go back to something a little bit more normal so we can all keep pace.
Well, to end with a question before this last one, Veronica, you asked about vowels and consonants. The vowels are where our emotions lie. So when we're reading the vowels, we know how somebody feels. Mm-hmm. And the consonants is where our attitudes lie. So when we read the consonants, we get someone's attitudes.
Oh, really?
So, okay, so going into this question with the spirit, your contract with the creative source, whatever we want to call that, God energy, is literally written in your name for what your purpose is and what your design was and what was chosen at this lifetime, what you came to learn and what you came to share. And so it's right there in the birth name. Now, during the lifetime of an individual, many people change their name. They either get married and change the last name, which is their environment changing. They can go by nicknames. They can say, oh, I don't like this name and I'm choosing a new one. But the birth name doesn't change. And our spiritual contract is literally written in the birth name, where our personality is written in the name that we're currently using.
Oh, that's interesting. So tell people how the spiritual name is chosen. Who chooses it? And that's pretty darn smart, isn't it?
Well, when there were still only seven religions on the planet, before they multiplied and divided and everybody kind of made up their own, okay, they all agreed on 10 or 12 basic ideas, depending on how you group them. And one of the ideas was that the incoming soul impresses upon the one naming them what they want to be called. So we're actually naming ourselves.
Wow. So it's an intuitive choice, generally, by the parents or whoever, right?
I think we impress as the soul is ready to come in. I think we have master guides or help, whatever you want to call it, on the other side in the endless world. And I think that name is very well chosen for us because every sound has a vibration and we're going to resonate. Our DNA and everything is going to learn to resonate to that sound. And then that is impressed upon the one that's going to be naming the child what that sound is and what that name is.
Well, here's the deal. They were going to call me Donna. They looked at me and called me Veronica. Is that not sort of an interesting, there must be a message in their heads or great masters standing in front or something.
Yes, saying, okay, this is it. That's not it. This is it.
Yeah. it's like putting a capo on a guitar or something.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I've heard thousands of stories around the world on how they've gotten names, and different places do it differently. Like in Turkey, it's the oldest male relative that gets the name for the child.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and in Russia, they change the ending of the dad's first name, and that is everybody's middle name. Okay, and if it's a girl, it has one ending, and if it's a male, it has a different ending. And so there's a lot of culture that comes in, so that culture or those habits are being passed at the same time along with the name.
So you could say that the lineage has its own attitudes, its own stream of beliefs that would keep them what, not sacred, but keep them confined in this series of beliefs? Would you say that? Intentions?
Well, if we're choosing our own names, we could go so far as to say perhaps that we're choosing also where we're born. And there's some of those religions that believe that we choose our parents. So everything is divinely chosen. So we're in the right environment to learn what our script would be for this lifetime.
Wow. And so
a culture has many ways of passing itself on through. But imagine if the parents and the children have compatible names, that's going to be a whole lot easier household to be brought up in than when the parent and the children have, you know, too many challenges within each other in the name.
Well, a lot of families have huge challenges, don't they? Why don't you break it down for us so we can get a little more basic about, I love what you're saying, but let's get a little bit basic so people can look at themselves and maybe pick some juicy morsels out of that to help themselves understand.
Okay, we'll go through the first vowel because there's only six of them and everybody that's listening will have one of them. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, in our culture, you'll often see parents who give all of their children the same initial for their first name, mm-hmm. and that causes competition among the children.
Oh, interesting, really.
Okay, so first vowels. If your first vowel is an A, you have, and it doesn't matter where that A is, like it could say A for Alicia and this be the first letter, or it could be A in Sarah and be the second letter, or it could be A, you know, is the third letter.
Like or an Aaron has two A's, right?
Right, and then that's read differently if there's a double A. So it doesn't matter where the placement is, as long as it's the first vowel that shows up as you're reading left to right. Okay, so the first vowel of an A says you have a tendency to be a thinker and to look at things from a mental perspective, to be a workaholic, and yet they make the greatest couch potatoes at the end of the day or when they just finish working and kind of drop because they say, okay, no more for today. But when they're done, they're done. And I always jokingly say if somebody else could go to the bathroom for them, they'd let them because once you're down, you don't want to get up. The A's are who keeps the bookstores in business because the A's like to keep learning and they usually are great readers, whether it's magazine, even fashion magazines or something very technical, it doesn't matter. They are the ones that learn a lot through reading. They're very visual learners.
And writers? Are they writers?
They can be because people who greatly read a lot are usually ones that like to write. But they're not the only ones that write. So the A's are very sensitive to criticism and want to shut down and quit sometimes when they're criticized. And so one of the goal of an A is to learn how to stand up for yourself without attacking the other person or becoming emotional. And so that's one of the lessons that comes with the A. In the first vowel of an E, Veronica, like yours, mm-hmm. it says that a person is here to bring more beauty into the world. These are the people that if the picture's crooked on the wall, they'll walk by and straighten it out because it's more beautiful that way. These are the natural detectives. They're very good listeners. They want to know everybody's backstory. So if you're having a party, you want to invite enough people with the first vowel of an E because somebody's got to listen to everybody else who's talking. And the E's usually give very good advice, but they will get to know people a whole lot faster than the other letters because they're good listeners and because they have a sense of humor while they're doing it. And there's not a judgment there.
Aww.
And then the first vowel of an I, these are people who learn through relationships. And they major in family relationships, whether they get along with their family or don't get along with their family are their greatest teachers. Most often when I'm giving a private reading to people and I say, you know, your family is your greatest teacher of an I. And so the good, the bad and the great or whatever all comes from family. Some people will say, well, I don't talk with my family because I couldn't stand them. And I kind of laugh because I say that doesn't stop them from being your greatest teachers. And one of the lessons for the I is how do I get along with these diverse people? And how do I keep this relationship going without wanting to run away or say, forget them? Okay. So that's a major learning point. The I's love inclusivity. So if you're all going bowling and you know your I friend doesn't like to bowl, it doesn't matter. You ask them every time anyway, because that way the I feels included and knows that you guys love them, but he just doesn't want to bowl, instead of him feeling like he's left out or forgotten or not wanted anymore. So you're always very inclusive with the eye. And the eyes are the easiest people to buy gifts for. They always have a list of what they want. It doesn't matter how much you spend on them. What matters is, did you get it off the list? So you don't want to be creative. You say, where's your list? Let me pick something.
Because that means you care about them, according to them, right?
Yes, that does. It definitely means, okay, you cared enough to ask. You cared enough to get me something that I wanted.
That's great.
Okay, and the O's are the easiest ones, speaking of gifts to buy for, because they're the ones that like money. So you just write them a check, and the bigger the better, and then they'll put all those checks together and go get themselves some big item that they really want. The O's are our CEOs. They're our bosses. They're the ones that are going to get those positions to lead everybody, because they love telling other people what to do. They are the list makers. They can juggle many, many different things all at one time. And they work off the top of their list down to the bottom. So the trick is, if you know this and you need something moving up on the list, right? You don't want to nag, because if you go to them and you say, hey, I really need the trash taken out because I hear that trash guy coming down and you said you were going to do it. And so, hello, they'll put it down on the bottom of the list and they don't care if it goes out this week. It can go out next week. Okay. But if you want to get some action out of an O on a list item before it gets to the top, you come to them with great gratitude and you say, you know, I heard that trash can guy coming down the street and I was so grateful that you said you were going to take care of it because I didn't worry about it. Thank you again for doing that. And then you just leave the room before they have a chance to say they haven't done it. They will be up and out of their seat and getting that trash out there so fast.
So they need gratitude or they need appreciation, huh?
They need gratitude. In fact, the first vowels of the A's and the O's are the two vowels that need gratitude the most to keep going, you know, and then and want to keep doing their things. And the O expects loyalty in response to what they're doing, because the O nurtures everybody around and wants to take care of everybody around.
Wow.
But they want loyalty in return. So let's say you go to warn them that this person over here did X, Y, Z, and you don't want them to get hurt by that, because they may be doing the same dealing with this person. The O person, first vowel of an O, will get upset with you because you talk badly about somebody behind their back. Doesn't matter it was true what you said. Doesn't matter your intentions of trying to save them some harm. Yep. Nope. You weren't loyal to that person, so shame on you.
Okay. Wow. So you can't protect them.
You can love them. And you can say, you know, when you're making these decisions, you may want to think about this, this, or that. But you can't talk badly about somebody else. You know, you can.
That's nice, though, actually, isn't it? See, it's amazing to me because Bob is a very common name. And that tells me that there's a streak. If you have a very common name, for example, like first letter or first vowel is an O, that means we have a streak of helpers, of people who value loyalty and so on and so forth. Is that right? I mean, it's a huge streak in our country, is it not?
It is.
In Western world, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've written on the website, knowthename.com, under the name meanings tab, there's some articles. And one of the articles are, what do the birthdays show over the years, or the most common names over the years, how our country's moving and how the values are changing? Because if you start looking at what are the top most common names for men and for women or for babies every year, then you can start to see the trends and the patterns on what letters are now being grouped and what letters used to be grouped and popular.
That's really interesting. I'm going to read that. I was going to ask you that question, actually, because there is a kind of a flash of certain names at various times, eh?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back to the U. We don't want to leave them out.
No, we don't.
The U's are our entertainers, and that's why they have so many Julias or Lukes or Judes or whatnot in the industry, the movie industry, because those are the actors, that those are the most entertaining people that we have. And so if the first vowel in somebody's name is a U, it may not be that they're funny, even though they have a great sense of humor. It's just interesting how they put their words together or how they think or how they look at something. And these are the people that are always up for a new adventure.
Yeah, I have a friend named Ursula. She's well into her 80s. She is just that all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants her there.
Yeah, because they're fun.
Yeah.
you don't need a television set if you've got a first vowel of a U around.
I have to remember that. Yeah, save a few dollars on cable.
But they have very short attention spans.
Well, that's okay? True too, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you've got to keep moving along, keep that conversation going. They also have quite wonderful imaginations. I jokingly always state if the U tells you something, you don't know where the truth ended and the imagination started. So you always look at the facts. You know? Because they make it interesting and then they just kind of keep going. So, but the U's are a lot of fun.
And they do play to the audience. So, if you're loving it, they're going to keep going, right?
Yeah, they definitely do because they can handle all the attention. You'll be focused on them.
Yeah.
And the last vowel is a Y. And the Y's are our seekers. It is the only letter that the O will give credence to say, okay, you can be the boss instead of me. Not all Y's choose to go in that route, but if they do, they can be like the teacher of the teachers. Hmm. They can be the boss of the bosses. Hmm. You know, they can rise to the top. They're always seeking. It's like they never quite find what they're looking for. So these are your spiritual seekers. These are your business seekers. These are the, how do we improve this? How do we keep going? How do we make this better? They're highly observant, even more so than the A, which doesn't miss much, because they're always noticing how everybody does everything so that when it's their turn to get there, they don't want to make the same mistakes as somebody else. And the Y's are just really interesting people. They're the most gracious hosts out there. Very kind, making sure that everybody's having a good time. The one thing to be aware of when you're talking with somebody who's a first vowel of a Y is that they can hold grudges. So if you say something or do something that hurts somebody that they care about, and it can be an innocent thing in passing, you know, it could be even as innocent as saying, I don't like the president,
mm-hmm.
okay? Or I love the president, depending on what side they're on. And they'll hold that against you and carry that as a grudge.
Wow.
And you just really want to watch your words when you're around a Y.
Well, this is fascinating, isn't it? So how about, that's actually really amazing. I don't know which way to go, whether we do the ending letters or which part of the consonants tell you the most important part of our attitudes.
The first letter is always our first impression.
Okay.
And so, and I would like to say that on the vowels, I just gave a really small synopsis. There's a huge amount that goes with every vowel.
I'll bet.
Because there's just information with every letter and its placement. But the first placement is our first impression. And sometimes you'll go up to somebody and you'll think, I don't like this person. I have no idea why. Like, I don't even know them. And I'm already going, I don't want to be here. You know, and other times you can go up and you can say, oh, I just love this person and I don't know why. And some of it has to do with compatibility of that first letter. And I always say for people that are dating, you want to give it 3 dates because you want to get to see beyond the first letter to see if other things are compatible, even if the first letter is kind of challenging at first. Okay. So the first letter being the first impression also says what people notice about us or what people think about us right away.
Hmm.
Okay. So they're saying now that within the first 30 seconds, people have an idea of who you are when you're talking to them.
Hmm.
Okay. So like with your name, Veronica, with that nice big capital V, that says charisma and that you can attract people to you naturally. They would want to come meet you and they would want to know, you know, who you are, because it's just the letter of charisma. And I always think if you read about all the Davids in the religious books and texts, that that's how those Davids got to be where they are and do what they did, because they have that charismatic letter in the middle of their name, which just means it comes a little later, but they got it.
Oh, I see. So it's there. It's still got that. So the letter itself holds a description that can be put anywhere in the name, huh?
No, sometimes they'll share, like the V shares. Mm-hmm. If it's a capital V, it's a whole lot stronger. With the smaller V, it's a lot subtler.
Mm-hmm.
Some letters like the V hold, doesn't matter where it is in the name, but most letters change. So you have the first letter position, the first vowel position, the last letter position, and then all the rest are middle letters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when two letters get together, and like a C and an H, okay, then it doesn't matter where in the name it falls, that CH holds the same meaning. And it's interesting because when you put two letters together, they create a third entity, kind of like a marriage when you have...
Okay. Like having a baby.
Yeah, like when you put two individuals together, then they form this new entity thing called the marriage. Like for the example, the C's love to be in charge and they love to be in control. And I have a mnemonic device written throughout the book, if you're learning this, for every letter so that our brains find it easier to remember. Okay. And the mnemonic device for C is charming and charismatic to cover their need to be in charge and in control.
Oh, nice collection of C.
I did my best to do that for every letter.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Wow.
So you have these C's that want to be in charge. And then you put it next to the H, which I call the holy letter, because you just get in the river and you go wherever the flow goes because you're so trusting of the universe that you know that whatever happens was meant to happen and you're just on the boat floating down the river.
Okay? Wow, yes, okay.
You let go and you let God. So now you put the C next to the H, and together they're going to have some conflict because the C wants to be in charge and the H wants to let go and let somebody else be in charge. Okay?
Wow. So do you think that's a mitigating mean to, can they work together to come up with a common balance?
That's one of their challenges in the lifetime is because the C and the H are not as compatible when together, it says that these are people that do everything the hard way. Because their inner battle is where do I hang on and where do I let go? But what's really cool is the reason why they do that. So the reason is in the books too. And the reason they do that is if something comes too easily for somebody who has a CH in their name. And again, it can be in the middle like a Michelle or at the end, you know, or at the beginning, it doesn't matter. So if something comes too easily, the next time that comes around and they go to do it, they'll go, oh, I remember that was so easy. What did I do? And then they spend half the day trying to remember what they did, but they forgot because it was too easy.
Right? That's funny, actually.
But if it's a little bit harder, then they'll go, oh, yeah, I remember that one. That was a challenge. Let me see what I did last time. Oh, yeah, I remember. And then they have a starting point. Do I want to do it the same? Do I want to alter it? Whatever. But that way their memory works and they're not wasting time trying to remember what they did last time.
Wow. That's interesting. So what about SH and Sharon?
The SH means that you need freedom. You do not want to be underneath anybody else's thumb. And, you know, the SH comes in the middle of a name, too, like a Joshua. It can come at the end of a name. It doesn't matter where the SH appears, but it really means that freedom is the most important thing. I always consider the SH like a bird. They can have a cage, and they will come home every night to that cage as long as you leave the door to the cage open, and they'll go in it every night. But if you close that cage door, even one night, the next time you open it, that bird's going to fly out and never come back again because it's afraid of losing its freedom.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow. And were you born? Okay, you are on a really intense kind of beautiful mission in this life. Was Sharon the name you were born with? And has that been true that you're trying to figure things out and teach about that to lift and help people? Is that all true in Sharon?
It's definitely true in Sharon. I only changed my last name.
Okay.
I changed my first and middle. Especially once I understood names. Now, it's funny, though, is because, you know, as parents, I have a lot of parents calling me and saying, you know, what name do I want? I've got these names picked out. You know, what do I want to name my child? What's the best name? And I always say the best name is whatever's designed, whatever you get impulsed with, that should be the name of your child. I said, and then call me and I'll help you know how to spell it. So we'll ease it, you know, in the spelling of the name.
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense, eh?
Okay. So that way we honor what the spirit wanted. And at the same time, we're helping ease the pathway for their learning.
That's really wise. All right. So last names. Let's get to last names. Wyeth. And I'm going, how many people change their last names? Many, many change them through marriage, right?
Yes. Or they adapt them because you're coming from a foreign country and you think nobody can pronounce this.
Like Freeman when they came to a free country, right?
Right. Or they're saying that my last name is identifying me as a particular ethnic group and I don't want that on paper to be that obvious. So some people will change their names that way. I always think, you know, let's teach people how to say our name. Let's deal with it that there's more and more people that are very open-minded, and the background doesn't matter. It's, do you have the skills that you need? You know, and a lot of HR companies hire me, and they will literally give me a list of names and give me the job description because that's all I need. And then I go through and I say, these are the people you want to interview, and these are the questions that you want to ask.
Wow.
You know, so that part's really fun to do. There was a company, a very large company in Australia that I got to go over and teach some of this with this past year. But they've been calling me for quite a few years and doing that. And when we first started, we did it once a week. And at the 4.5 month mark, I would say, okay, within 10 minutes of them giving me the names in the list, I'd say, okay, here's my number one, here's my number two for you. And I would have never known they were doing this, except for 4.5 months in, the head person said, you know, Sharon, every week we've given you these, and my team, they interview everybody. They call all the references. They've gone through all the paperwork. They've done everything they can to make sure we're getting the best person. And it takes, you know, time, and it takes a lot of money. And within 10 minutes, you're giving me the same number one and two that they're giving me. But this week, our one and two is your two and one. Why did you do that? What was your reasoning? Because you got them backwards this week. And so I said, well, they were very close, and this is the reason that I put this one first over that one. And he said, you know, we would never see that in an interview. Nobody would tell us that on a reference. We wouldn't see that until the person was working for us. And he said, because of your accuracy over the past 4.5 years, we're going with your suggestion versus what my team came up with.
Wow. And then you get feedback later, right? It's been successful?
Yes. There's a company in San Diego that I've been working with now for a little over 5 years. And they rarely hire without talking with me first. And then I keep a list of the names that they have. So when they say, okay, this person left, or this person is, you know, sometimes I'll say, this is a great person, but they're not going to stay long. And then it always gets her upset when they don't stay long. And I go, hello.
I think we spoke of that. So this is interesting because corporations or companies have their own names. Is there a whole, like, a dynamic between the name of the company and what its meaning is and the person working for them? You know, like some, like Brian might be really good for, I don't know, Cisco, and Mary Lou might not, that sort of thing.
The answer is yes. And what's most important is not only the name of the company, but the name of who you're going to be working for. Who's your boss?
Okay.
Okay. That's your direct connection. So yes, the company's ideals are very important. I was once giving a talk in Georgia, and I used his company names, Pepsi-Cola versus Coca-Cola. And then I said, I've never worked for either one. This is what their names say. This is what Pepsi-Cola's environment would be like. And this is, you know, it'd be a lot more playful and relaxed. And Coca-Cola's would then be more structured, right? And more with solid expectations. Like Pepsi-Cola, if you're late 5 minutes, nobody's going to probably say anything. But on Coca-Cola, that's not going to be acceptable. You need to be on time. Okay, there's just different in their names. Different dynamics. And when I got through with the talk, one of the people that were listening came up to me and said, I've worked for both companies, and what you've said about the companies is absolutely right.
Wow.
So you can look at countries that way. You can look at street names that way, you know, because the street name tells you what your neighbors are going to be like.
Oh, I see. So you could pick your new place of residence according to the street names. Is that right? Yeah.
Correct. According to the street names, because you're going to want to know, are you going to fit on that street? You know, if everybody on that street has kids that go out in the front of the houses and play and they're really loud and that bothers you because you got to slow down to get home and make sure you're not hitting a kid when you're driving, then you would know that from the street name.
So the one question you haven't responded to is, what about those of us who change our names when we marry? Our last names. What is the impact? How long does it take to have a huge impact?
You start with the impact right away from day one. It takes 7 years to fully implement all of the impact changes. And because it's the last name, it's affecting your environment. And think about it. When you leave your parents' house and now you're in in a marriage and you're in with somebody else, your environment has definitely changed. And so now you're getting the influence from that person versus the influence from your parents. And the environment or the last name always shows you where you're growing now or what your environment would like from you now. And what I love too is that the last name will show you, if you're getting married, how well you'll get along with your in-laws. It'll also tell you if there's going to be violence in that marriage.
Oh, wow. I think my biggest, as an intuitive, as a counselor, my biggest interest is in helping people become who they really are. And I feel like the way you're talking, I'm going, and the way I've experienced life, is sometimes taking on the last name and the marriage or so on can curtail who you really are, right?
Yes, and some people forget who they are because they just want to be able to please their mate.
Right.
Without realizing that your mate fell in love with you because of who you are, not who you are going to morph into to try to please them.
Or some do it for the socioeconomic status, the status that they get to live in, right?
You know, I think there's just as many reasons that people get married as there are people.
I just think it's very interesting. You know, we're talking about the name of the street you live on, the name of the city, the name of the country, your last name, your name changes. I mean, it's really a big job. So what do you recommend? Do you recommend that people just learn the basic letters that you're talking about and learn to sit in it and really feel the pulse, the vibration of what they're doing, where they're going?
Well, how the book is written, Know the Name, Know the Person, it, after the first chapter, which gives a lot of history and background, it starts right in with the strongest letter, which is our first vowel. And all the information for each of those letters, because I only gave a brief little part. And as you're thinking about that letter, if you think about the people in your life that have that letter in that position, it makes it very easy for the brain to start associating those qualities and characteristics. And if you know that,
because we make our patterns, right? We understand. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're identifying the pattern then. And what's really nice is then you understand how to speak with somebody else, because that first vowel is how we communicate. So for an example, when I'm going to talk with you, Veronica, mm-hmm. I'm always going to ask, how are you first?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And if you'll notice, that's how you always start your conversations. How are you? You
know, it's like I do. Yeah.
And you want to know how they're doing. Now, the first vowel of an A, that's not natural for a first vowel of an A. They're saying, okay, let's get down to work. Where were we? What do we need to get done? We'll visit. Okay. And the E is saying, no, we need to connect and visit first. Then we'll get down to work. So if you know that and you have a friend whose first vowel is an E, you start with, hi, how are you?
But if I start with a friend who's got a first vowel of an A and I say, hi, how are you? How's your family? Does that friend get offended?
They don't get offended, but they want to get on to business. So they're going to give you very short, clippy answers.
Oh.
They understand that the E really needs that.
Because we are fairly compassionate people.
Yes, very compassionate people, because the E's come from their heart and the A's come from the head. Okay, and I'm not saying one's right and one's wrong. I'm simply saying they're different styles, and we need all of it, because everybody in their style reminds everybody else that that's also a choice.
Oh, that's wonderful. So listen, are you willing to talk about health and names and so on? Are there name changes that can really increase people's health level or health standard? There are names that make us vulnerable to health issues?
That's the book I'm currently working on, which will eventually be Know the Name, Know the Health.
Oh, good.
And there are certain letter combinations that give us predispositions to certain things happening in the physicality. And so the whole purpose behind that book is, if you know you have that susceptibility, then you can preempt it and be aware of it and do what you need to do to begin with. For an example, there was a girl that I knew that when she was 13, she went to see an astrologer, and the astrologer said to her, you know, because you're a Libra, you're predestined to the possibility of kidney problems later on. So you just want to keep that in mind. And because that child was very in tuned already, she said, fine, then I'm not going to drink because that hurts kidneys. And so that person chose never to drink. To this day, she doesn't have any kidney problems. But it's something, and you don't have to be as drastic as that, but the whole purpose of the book will be if these are the patterns that we're seeing, like an AN, for an example, can be immune disorder. So you want to make sure you're taking care of your immune system. Mm-hmm. Okay. That yes, you can preempt it and do something about it so that if that's a predisposition coming in or a weak point in the system, you know how to make it stronger. So the one that has been discovered so far with my research that to me is very much that when I see it in a name, it's one of the first things I address during somebody's reading. And that is when they have three L's or more throughout the name.
Now, three L's. Okay.
So if you have a name like Lucille or Lillian, you've got three L's right to begin with. Mm-hmm. But if you have a name like, say, Bill, and then there's an L in another middle name or last name, that would constitute your three L's. And what I have noticed with people that have three L's is they get misdiagnosed by doctors.
Oh, interesting.
And so they need to use alternative medicines or alternative naturopathic ways of doing things. Hmm. And so many people, when I've said, you know, you have this in your name, and I don't know if that's ever occurred for you, but it seems to be a dominant pattern. Literally over 90% of the people that I've spoken with that have three L's in their name, and I've spoken to thousands and thousands of people, have literally said, oh yeah, that's already happened to me because of this or that or whatnot. And I wish I would have known that beforehand. And so I really like to get that out there that if you have three L's, you could be misdiagnosed. So if a doctor says you need to do X, Y, Z, I'd go check with three other doctors too. And I'd go online and I'd ask a ton of questions and I would not make a rash decision. And I would not think that the first thing that was told to me was accurate necessarily. It could be because there's that predisposition to being misdiagnosed. And then that affects that person for the rest of their life.
Wow, that's really interesting. So it's a real preventive thing. What are other health issues represented by, like, what about double N's? There's a lot of people with double N's or double or triple S's and so on. Is that very significant for health or anything, actually?
So far in my research for the putting the patterns together in the health, I've only dealt with single letters.
Okay.
I've dealt with some letter combinations, but no doubles yet.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm not there yet, and I'm really at the stage where it looks like it's this, and I'm out there talking with people all the time and talking with physicians all the time, and what do you see? Have you noticed a pattern? You know, it's kind of funny because in detention halls in schools, like the kids that get lunch detention or whatnot, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So often, the names start with an A, J, or an S, or it's the name Taylor or Tyler.
Oh, interesting. Hey?
You know, you just... You
but what about in jails or juvenile halls or anything like that? Have you checked those places?
Yes. One of the names that seems to end up there a lot are names of extreme, like Tom. The T's and the M's like to take everything to the extreme. They'll do what they like to do. They don't want to do what they don't want to do. And so, and the T stands for the top of the game. Okay, so those people will go all the way to the top. The only time you see them is if they're in the middle, is when they're on their way to the top. Or they'll decide right on, well, I can't do that, so I'm not even going to try, where they stay on the bottom. And so you see in Tom, where two-thirds of the name is these letters of extreme, that they're either at the top of their game, in the top of the company, the top actors, the top whatever, or they're at the very bottom.
Hmm.
Because it's... they're not going to do what they don't want to do.
Hmm. So that's another common name beginning is J. What do you have to say about J?
You know, the letter J only came into our alphabet approximately 200 years ago.
Oh.
And the letter J is, they're brilliant. They're absolutely brilliant and highly intuitive. They're what I term street smart. They just know how the world works.
Hmm.
And they are very good at getting more knowledge or intuitively figuring things out. when they're younger, they have to learn how to work with that intuition. And I've met a lot of people whose names begin with a J that are actually afraid of the intuition. Hmm. You know, they don't know whether to trust it or not because they can't put their hands on it.
I told you once that once years ago, someone told me, as an intuitive told me, that if I get involved with anybody or anytime I'm involved with somebody beginning with J, I will have problems. Said trust problems or something of that ilk.
Well, the J's don't have any innate dishonesty in the letter. Some letters do have that, and okay. Some combinations do, but it's not the J. What happens is, and every person will figure this out for themselves, that they just start writing down all the names of the people that they've ever really had trouble with, mm-hmm. and they'll realize that there's certain names that are just, oh my gosh, every time I meet somebody with that name, there's issues. So then you have a choice. You can avoid it and say, man, I don't want to be around any of those people because look what always comes up. Or you can go seek those people out and say, I need to clear this with them, whatever. I need to learn how to deal with this issue. So, but the J's are brilliant. And because they really are brilliant in whatever they're doing. And so they can also be arrogant sometimes because they feel like they know more. Oh. But I do know more. But the arrogance is what gets to us.
Well, what about D for Donald, or D for what, date or dad, or what about D?
If it's the first letter, now it's different as it goes through the name, okay? But if it's the first letter, it really means that they're here for a purpose. Okay. They have a strong purpose or drive for what it was that they came to do, and they just know it from the get-go. It also says, like, every letter has a challenge in it, and the solution's also in our names, by the way. But the challenge that comes with the letter D is clutter.
Oh.
And it's like their brain doesn't get started in the morning until they look at their clutter. Because when they look at their clutter, they go, oh, let's see what I could do to fix that or clean that up or whatnot. And then the brain starts working, and then they can put the brain's attention other places. But if everything's too nice and neat, there's nothing to look at that says, oh, I need to clean this up. So that ignition on their brain doesn't get started, and it's hard for them to get going for the day. So if they understand that, hey, that's just innate. It's one of the challenges that comes with a D, and every letter has challenges. Every letter has gifts. That, you know, then you start saying, okay, if I need clutter, I could contain the clutter. I could do it in a drawer or a closet or just the back seat of the car, or where do I need it? And then if I know that my brain isn't gearing up yet, let me go look at my clutter, and then I can get started for my day. Then you
don't
need
I wonder if they even know that as kids. It might be a good thing to teach them, huh?
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of parents that once they understood that that's just innately to that person with the D name, they have said, you can keep your room any way you want to, but it cannot leave the threshold. It cannot get into the rest of the house.
Oh,
you know, but if you need clutter, you go right ahead. And one mother I know went so far as to say, but if I cannot open the door, I'm taking it off the hinges. And she's had to do that a few times.
I love that.
Hazard.
Wow. So, you work with corporations and so on. Do you work at all with spiritual groups? I keep going back to spirit because, as you know, that's one of my favorite bailiwicks there. Do you work with people to help them become more spiritually attuned through their name?
Yes, and those are some of my favorites. I love working with individuals. I really get a thrill working with families, like a family dynamics and how they can all get along better. And sometimes it's how you say it. It's not what you say, but it's how you say it. And that's, you know, it's right there in the name, how somebody needs it. But to answer your question more specifically, yes, your contract with the God energy or whatever we're calling it is definitely there in the name. And to be able to see that, it's like giving somebody permission to be who they are. And the majority of people who have called for what I call the spiritual side or the spiritual readings has literally said afterwards, oh my God, you're changing lives. And I think I'm not changing lives. I'm simply bringing forward that which they already intuitively knew and was within them. And now they're giving themselves permission to be who they came to be.
So you're the illuminator.
it makes it clear for them, mm-hmm. you know, and they can get that out of the book, Know the Name, Know the Spirit. I mean, it's, if you want to learn the system, that's in the first book, Know the Name, Know the Person or the Personality. But if you just want to look it up and say, hey, why am I here? Where are my challenges? Then you go to Know the Name, Know the Spirit, because it's simply written as, you know, if your name, if your letter falls in this position, go to that chapter and look up that page, and that'll tell you part of it.
Wow. And you get a lot of feedback from people. Now, I know our time is, and I appreciate your feedback, because you get some real accuracy feedback, don't you? But I know our time is almost over, so I wonder if you can give people your connection points. Sounds like a lot of people are going to want to have their own sessions, their family sessions, their corporate sessions, government sessions. How's that? You need to go and work in the government, don't you think?
There's been two senators that have called me for information. Times and good. And you know, I have, you noticed I don't drop any names. I don't believe in that. I believe everybody needs their privacy. If they want to share it, they can share it.
Okay.
So the main website is knowthename.com, K-N-O-W, thename.com. And on there is my phone number and a link that you can just click to email. Normally emails get answered a whole lot faster than phone calls, because if we're left a message, we attempt to respond with a phone call, and it keeps my girls pretty busy. So emails are responded to faster, but it's really fun. My big thing now is I want to share this and teach it to as many people as possible. So I started teaching it 2.5 years ago, and the ones that started with me then are just doing phenomenally well.
Oh, wonderful. I was going to ask you, do you do online classes, or where do you do your teachings?
Yes, I do some online classes. I don't do it as often as I do it in person. But the online class this year, I did one last year for the first time. And this year it's in June.
Oh, good.
So
okay.
Go to schedule on the website. You see a calendar, and as you're flipping through the calendar, you'll see where the classes are.
Wonderful. Oh, Sharon, you are a delight to speak with. And of course, I'm sitting here with a million questions now, and the time is up. But I'm really happy to know. I'm excited to go into the books and also to follow your class schedule and to know you're out there helping people make what harmony and cooperation, even in corporations and in schools and amongst kids and families. Right on. You go, girl. Thank you for being here with us.
Well, the best thing about all of this is what I've noticed for the people that have learned it and are in communication with me is that judgment goes away. We realize that everyone has value, everyone has a purpose, and we're happy to see everybody there. And you know immediately what you can do to help that person and how to talk with that person so that they can have a better life. And if we could just all communicate, just think, we wouldn't have wars.
We wouldn't, would we? And people would be able to feel compassion for themselves and heal whatever their misbehaviors are or whatever. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sharon Wyeth. Sharon Lynn Wyeth. I think I heard one of your recordings say that Lynn is a very important middle name that gives you freedom. Is that right?
It says that we're a spiritual seeker. It says that a lot of people have the middle name of Lynn. It says that we have a very good memory for anything that we're interested in, a lot of self-confidence, and that we're always looking to learn more. And so that and Marie. Marie is the other one that's very, very common. And Marie says it's a self-sacrificial one. It's always doing for everybody else. And I always feel for people with the middle name of Marie, because it says, when is it going to be ever my turn? Because everybody else seems to come first.
But speaking as someone whose middle name is Marie, does that mean I can turn that around and make it my turn?
You can if you learn how not to allow others to take advantage of you or manipulate you. The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. Well, it's nice to say goodbye on a note like that. Thank you, Sharon Lynn Wyeth. Know the name, know the person, but also know the name, know the spirit. But the website is Know the Name, Know the Person, right?
The website's just Know the Name.
Oh, knowthename.com. Thank you so much for sharing with us, and I hope we'll speak again.
Thank you, Veronica.
All right. Many blessings.